Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life without taking ourselves too seriously. I'm Brad Kearns, New York Times bestselling author, former number 3 world-ranked professional triathlete, and Guinness World Record Masters athlete. I connect with experts in diet, fitness, and personal growth and deliver short breather shows where you get simple, actionable tips to improve your life right away. Let's explore beyond the hype, hacks, shortcuts, and sciencey talk to laugh, have fun, and appreciate the journey. It's time to be rad. There is no data that has ever been presented to suggest that elevated cushioned shoes prevent running injuries. And interestingly enough, hey man, how's your sexual function? Oh, uncomfortable talking about it? Look, we talk about our injured knees, our belly fat, so it's time to get focused on function. I want to tell you about GainsWave. This is a cutting-edge protocol where a handheld device sends low-intensity shockwaves into your penile blood vessels to stimulate a healing response and promote increased blood circulation and the growth of new blood vessels. A skilled practitioner puts the GainsWave magic wand onto your magic wand, and after a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results. GainsWave reports an 80% success rate. Now, we know that popping pills is a popular penile protocol, but when you're working with clogged pipes, you just get a temporary band-aid effect when you take prescription drugs. GainsWave addresses the cause of age-related decline by stimulating growth factors and activating dormant stem cells. Translation: stronger, harder, more sustainable erections. I learned about GainsWave from my podcast guest, Dr. Judson Brandeis, at the Brandeis MD Clinic in Northern California, and there's a robust network of GainsWave providers that you can find on their website near you. Complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, and while it's great for ED, GainsWave is for any man that wants to combat the effects of aging and get a little boost for your A-game. So please visit GainsWave.com/Brad. That's GainsWave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area, and you can take advantage of my special promotion. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. You have nothing to lose and lots to gain from GainsWave.com/Brad. Let's get to the truth. This podcast is about getting to the truth behind the stunning and embarrassing rate of running overuse injuries. A 2021 study from Europe, a meta-study of 24 different studies, revealed an annual injury rate of 37 to 56% of regular runners. Runner's World reports 46% of runners get injured every year. Yale University Medicine reports 50%. Wake Forest Biomechanics Laboratory says 79% get an overuse injury every year. And the American College of Sports Medicine reports that 25% of all runners are sidelined at any given time. That stat is worse than the NFL. 31% of players are injured annually, and only 4% are injured at any given time. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions, misunderstandings about what is causing these running injuries. You may have heard criticism about the cushion shoes, especially from minimalist shoe promoters such as myself. And we got to get to the bottom of this because the nuances are quite interesting. So it is very clear that elevated cushioned running shoes do not prevent injury due to their cushioning or their stability, their pronation control. This is a complete lie and one of the great lies of marketing in the fitness industry that has ever been propagated, and it's been going on for 50 years since Nike released the first cushioned elevated running shoe, the Waffle Trainers, back in the 70s. There is no data that has ever been presented to suggest that elevated cushioned shoes prevent running injuries. And interestingly enough, further, they do not even reduce impact trauma, nor do they control pronation. I'll get to that more in a second. In fact, the great research from Dr. Daniel Lieberman at Harvard reports that cushioned shoes generate 7 times more impact trauma than landing in bare feet. Now, that's pretty bad, and that is what led us to believe that the shoe is causing injuries, but this is not technically accurate either. What they do, the elevated cushioned shoe enables people to run long distances who shouldn't be running long distances, who are poorly adapted and generally unfit, and therefore exhibiting poor form. That is the true cause of the injury. So the running shoe is the enabler. It's the bartender serving too many drinks to the person that's going to go and get a DUI. Okay. So what's really going on here? The research is showing that running injuries are generally likely caused by unfit people who try to run with bad form, bad musculature, and bad mobility, especially ankle stiffness. Now, the cushioned shoes enable the bad form, but are not the direct cause of injury. A 2018 study published in American Journal of Sports Medicine aimed to determine if there was a common pathological gait that was associated with the 4 most common overuse injuries. Do you know what they are? Runner's knee, IT band, shin splints, and Achilles tendonitis. They examined nearly 100 runners, and they found the key predictor and the common link among injured runners was quote-unquote hip drop. This is also known as contralateral pelvic drop. This is where the limb that's not on the ground sinks down below the level of the hip that is pushing off the ground. So it's kind of a collapsing running stride rather than running tall and light on your feet like a deer. Strikingly, this is from the research, for every 1 degree of contralateral pelvic drop, this resulted in a whopping 80% increase in injury risk. The study also noted that forward trunk lean versus a forward lean at the ankles, at the mid stance, and a more extended knee and dorsiflexed ankle at heel strike as being commonalities amongst the injured group. And so that's the breaking heel striking stride that is so prominent among recreational runners. Dr. Lieberman, I believe, said 87% of all recreational runners heel strike. And the heel strike is only enabled by the elevated cushioned shoe. So again, the elevated cushioned shoe is allowing people to go and run 2 miles or 5 miles or 26 miles that shouldn't be running because they have the dysfunctional stride due to poor mobility, poor functionality of the glutes, the hamstrings, all kinds of pathologies that people are bringing to the sport of running. Let's get into more detail about the role that the shoes plays and the misconceptions. And this is from the highly respected authority of Steve Magnus. He's a popular coach, a scientist, a former elite high school and collegiate miler, and the author of the wonderful book called Do Hard Things, amongst other books and great publications and articles that he has contributed. He explains that the entire premise of elevated cushion running shoes is deeply flawed. The shoes are designed and categorized according to their ability to achieve 2 primary goals: limit impact forces and minimize pronation. So if you look at the marketing messaging around running shoes, they're going to talk about the cushion. They're going to talk about the stability or motion control. And this has been revealed now as complete bullshit. Research strongly suggests that shoes do neither. So they've also, Magnus references 3 studies concluding that the degree of pronation does not influence injury rate. And another study finding that all kinds of different motion control shoes do not even alter pronation. They don't change the kinematics of the tibia or the calcaneus. In other words, your foot pronates anyway inside of those motion control shoes. And I think this is kind of obvious to watch. If you see a runner running down the street with clunky shoes, they're still pronating, even though their foot is encased in this giant sole with the plastic guards around the side and the things that they tout as motion control. So virtually everything everything you've seen to market a running shoe in the realm of being protective is a complete lie and not backed up by any research. Here's more truth about what pronation really is. It's a natural part of your running gait. This is how your body dissipates force, quotes a running Dr. Vincent. Overcorrecting it may cause knee and hip pain and prevent you from properly using and strengthening muscles in your foot and leg. Excessive pronation can pose problems too, but it's very poorly defined. Another doctor, Dr. Gruber, says what can be excessive for one person isn't necessarily excessive for another. And if you want to go on YouTube and Google Joseph Cheptegei, the world record holder from Uganda in the 5K and 10K, or the great Eliud Kipchoge. And you can even search YouTube for something like Kipchoge pronation, and you will see the extreme level of pronation exhibited by Kipchoge as well as Cheptegei. Cheptegei probably even worse, such that you look at his foot strike from behind and half of the sole is in the air because his foot is pronating at such an extreme angle. You also happen to create leverage and get the full elastic spring-like function of the longitudinal arch of the human when you pronate. So pronating is a way to absorb impact energy and generate propulsive energy off the ground. It's not a bad word. It's completely ridiculous ruse presented by the running shoe industry. So now that we know that elevated cushion running shoes are a joke and they certainly don't help prevent injury, but they don't cause injury directly in the manner that we've come to denigrate them by, especially in the minimalist shoe movement. So there's bullshit being spouted in all directions. But what about minimalist shoes? Well, they certainly don't cause injury either. So if Vibram had me on their legal team when the class action lawsuit came down and damaged the company severely in 2007, because runners were blaming the paper thin soles and the minimalist shoe for causing injury. Here's the truth behind that. These mofos were getting chronically injured anyway in any shoe due to their pathological gait. Now, switching from an elevated cushion shoe that you've put in hundreds or thousands of miles in to a paper-thin five-toe minimalist shoe is going to be a big problem because you are going to experience novel impact forces due to that radical switch in running shoes. So it's the poor adaptation to switching shoes that can certainly increase injury risk. And of course, runners have known this for decades where they become very loyal to one kind of shoe. I remember using the Tiger Epirus because it was better luck for me to not get injured running through high school and college. And then they discontinued it. And the runners had such an uproar that they brought it back because so many people had become wedded to a single model of shoe, gotten used to that shoe, and thereby reducing their injury risk. So switching from cushioned to minimalist is a super bad idea due to the novel impact forces, the new way that your foot has to navigate and your entire lower body accordingly. So is the idea that I should switch to Puluvas and start running in them to cure me of all my ills? No, it's not really a battle of the elevated cushion shoe versus the minimalist shoe. Now, if someone were to adapt to a minimalist running shoe, it's arguably they could possibly improve their form because they will intuitively seek to minimize the impact trauma by running with a graceful landing and impact absorption. And this is from Dr. Lieberman's research, where he explains that elevated cushion running shoes have a 7 times increase of impact trauma versus landing in bare feet. The reason being, when we land in bare feet, we are very, very sensitive to absorbing impact gracefully because the penalty for absorbing impact poorly, such as with a heel strike, is so high. If you don't believe me, jump up in the air and try to land on your heels from a 3 inches height. Yeah, it hurts. Even just landing a tiny little jump and a heel strike. So when you put on a minimalist shoe with the five-toe articulation like a Paluva or a Vibram, you're going to arguably very likely minimize your impact trauma, but it's not going to prevent injuries. And of course, it's not going to cause injury unless you're a dummy and you switch over from a cushion shoe and think you're going to be bulletproof because of the wonderful Harvard research that says the barefoot is amazing at absorbing impact. Not if it's not used to it from walking around in shoes all day. But just important to know that when you run in bare feet or a very minimalist shoe, you intuitively flex the knee and the ankle joints more upon landing based on the hardness of the surface. Another amazing tidbit that came from Lieberman research is that the impact trauma is no different from running on the hardest surface like concrete versus running on soft grass. So it's like your choice. You can run barefoot on a sidewalk or on the grassy field, and the impact trauma will be the same because we are so intuitively skilled at gracefully minimizing that impact trauma. And it was so great to see Barefoot Ted McDonald, the proprietor of Luna Sandals. He used to make presentations at our PrimalCon retreats, and he would have the guests come over to a nice, smooth concrete path, remove their shoes, and take off running for 30, 40, 50 meters, whatever, to get a sense of exhibiting correct form. And when you do that as a little drill, if you can find some safe, very hard surface, such as if you have a long hallway indoors or a basketball gym or somewhere, a workout studio where you can actually run on a hard surface, indoor or outdoor, you will immediately improve your form dramatically if you have all these form dysfunctions, thanks to wearing the elevated cushion shoe that destroys your proprioception and enables you to heel strike and all that other stuff. Okay, so it's not a magic solution because people are still unfit and poorly adapted. In fact, it's possible that they still might exhibit hip drop and insufficient forward lean of the ankles, even when running in minimalist shoes, and that might be due to sucking at having flexible adaptive ankles. And you can do a test by let's say doing a knees over toes move where you put the foot flat on the ground and then try to lean forward and close that angle of the ankle to the tibia and see how far forward you can go. And you should be able to go pretty far forward and have that tight angle. But a lot of times people feel locked up when they get past 90 degree tibia, right? So that entails a lot more time barefoot or in minimalist shoes in everyday life. So there's where the secrets are coming in now. Grab yourself a pair of Paluvas and start walking around and wearing them as much as possible, going barefoot as much as possible, and you will improve your foot functionality so that you have a better chance of learning and exhibiting correct form and reducing your risk of injury accordingly. You can still run in whatever pair of shoes that you like, and perhaps you've become fond of and wearing them for hundreds of miles. But it's urgent, it's critical if you want to avoid those ridiculous statistics of being sidelined, routinely. You still have to pursue full body functional fitness. Improved overall foot functionality is a great starting point because the way the foot goes is the way the entire lower extremities and impact absorption goes, and definitely learn to execute that correct running form, which is represented by a midfoot landing over a balanced center of gravity. So please go to the Paluva YouTube page, and I have a very detailed video about how to learn and execute correct running form. And that will be a great guide for you to learn the basics, see how it feels out there, especially when you're wearing a minimalist shoe that will facilitate allowing your foot to go through the full range of motion and absorb impact gracefully rather than running in the big pillow shoes where you don't really feel and sense as well. Okay. And what this means is overall, unless you're super fit, you should probably be dedicating a much greater percentage of your overall mileage to walking and building your aerobic competency so that running is not so stressful and exhibiting good form is not so difficult. Because the real driving force behind that shuffling, heel striking stride, where the tibia is at an acute angle rather than being near 90 degrees when you land, is because of weak glutes, tight hamstrings, dysfunctional weak and or tight hip flexors, and all the stuff that we cover in the Primal Fitness Expert Certification course about building that full body functional competency so that anything you do, playing basketball, skiing downhill, or going for a run, you can do with grace and excellent form. Interesting. Lastly, what about those energy return carbon plated super shoes? The data is quite compelling that these can help improve your performance and reduce impact trauma because the carbon plate returns more energy than a regular shoe. But they should be used judiciously because there's also research showing that they can increase injury risk, particularly a navicular stress fracture, due to, again, that quote, novel impact forces. So the new super shoes are so different and such a tremendous innovation that they have a confirmed 4% improvement in running economy. They deliver a 4% improvement in running economy, provided you're running fast enough to gain the benefit. So if you're going slower than 10-minute miles, the research reveals that the energy return carbon-plated super shoes do nothing and could actually cause some problems. But for those fast people that like to put those on, the benefit would be being able to run faster, but bringing a new risk of injury because they are different and they require your foot to operate differently. And then the second item of increased injury risk with the super shoes is that they allow you to run faster. So, of course, running faster, you're getting more impact load. But in many ways, they also reduce the musculoskeletal trauma because of the increased efficiency, the improvement in running economy they provide. So the takeaway there is if you're going to get those and you're a fast person, use them for your fast workouts and your races, but make a concerted effort to train and rotate in regular shoes as well. So finally, the summary takeaways, don't blame your shoes for injury, blame your weak feet, your crappy form, and your minimized functional fitness for injury wearing any shoes. And then secondly, get your feet more functional and your body fitter before trying to get deep into endurance running. So that's a walking in your Puluvas, walking around barefoot in the house, and getting into the gym and doing some specific exercises. There's so much great content out there on YouTube or with formal books and other educational resources to build up better glute functionality, better hamstring mobility, and all that fun stuff. And that is the truth behind running overuse injuries. Stay healthy out there. Don't succumb to the statistics. Thank you. Hey, I want to tell you about Schwank Grills. This is a revolutionary portable gas infrared grill that uses the exact same heating technology as the world's best steakhouses. You heat up to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit to grill the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 3 minutes. Can you believe it? That's right. You do not have to go to those crowded, noisy, super overpriced steakhouses anymore when you have the same technology in your backyard. And the Schwank portable infrared grill is not just for steak. You can make chicken wings, hamburgers, seafood, lobster, vegetables. I make salmon in 3 minutes. They even have a pizza stone accessory. I want you to visit their very informative and mouth-watering website at schwankgrills.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-N-K. Everything you cook, faster, juicier. The speed is so important, so convenient. There's a drip tray on the bottom, so you let the juices drip down. I love the bison burger, the venison burgers. That's my game. And then you can add a mixture of butter, spices, whatever you want into the tray. Pour it back onto your meat or your salmon for a huge improvement in flavor. Are you getting hungry? I am. Let's go to schwankgrills.com, S-C-H-W-A-N-K, grills.com, and up your home cooking game. This is a one-of-a-kind grill. I have a great discount code for you, of course. It's Brad150 to save $150 off your purchase of a Schwank grill. Thank you so much for listening to the B-Rad podcast. We appreciate all feedback and suggestions. email podcast@bradventures.com, and visit bradkearns.com to download 5 free ebooks and learn some great long cuts to a longer life, how to optimize testosterone naturally, become a dark chocolate connoisseur, and transition to a barefoot and minimalist shoe lifestyle.